well, well. Shopping for a car?
Yep. Carvana made financing a car as smooth as can be.
Oh, yeah?
I got pre-qualified instantly and had real terms personalized just for me.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
Well, I got to browse thousands of car options on Carvana, all within my budget.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
It does. I actually wanted a car that seemed out of my range, but I was able to add a cosigner and found my dream car.
It doesn't get much...
Oh, it gets smoother. It's getting delivered tomorrow.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get pre-qualified today.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Trust you are doing well wherever you might be across this great nation. Wow. So much going on, folks, and I want to start out with some very good news for Donald John Trump and some very bad news for Governor Boots DeSantis and also for the Mrs. Casey DeSantis. Now, you know, it's pretty fascinating, and Team DeSantis, they have surrounded themselves with these influencers and these worshipers, these disciples. And they are a mean and nasty bunch. There's really no other way to say it, but they're very unpleasant people. And if you say anything or even look like you're about to say something about Casey DeSantis, they will come after you with a vengeance. She's off limits. How dare you? She's off limits. Okay. Well, the fact of the matter is Casey DeSantis is playing a supersized role in this campaign. And look, she ought to. I mean, she's married to the guy. So no doubt about that. But she is playing an oversized role. I think that may be the more appropriate thing to say. And I want to get to that in just a moment. But she may have broken the law over the weekend. And this is a doozy. So some brand new polling data coming out from NBC News. And President Trump now has a 32-point lead in Iowa. This is brand new polling data out, and Donald Trump is beating everybody in every category. According to the latest from Newsmax, a majority of likely Iowa Republican caucus goers now support Trump. We're 5 weeks now, 5 weeks before the first Republican presidential nominating contest. Trump's got 51% first choice support from likely caucus goers, or cauci, if you will. This is an NBC News, Des Moines Register, MediaCom poll. So this is a big deal. This is the polling data that you want to pay attention to. Ron DeSantis getting 19% first choice support and followed by Nikki Haley at 16. So she is just nipping at his heels, pardon the pun. And Vivek Ramaswamy down at 5%. Chris Christie, a Krispy Kreme down at 4%. So Trump's lead is, it's not just that Trump is maintaining the lead. Trump is actually growing the lead, and it's grown 5 points since October. Now, this is huge because, again, the Trump worship or the DeSantis worshipers were telling us that, well, this Governor Newsom debate is going to be the turning point. This is going to be the moment where people rise up and they denounce Donald Trump and they embrace Boots DeSantis, and they're going to worship at his curly-toed boots. That's what they're going to be doing, worshiping at his feet. By the way, is it just me? This is terrible. I shouldn't be sharing this with you. But is it just me, or every time I see a photo or a video of Ron DeSantis, I immediately look to see the angle of the toe of the boot? Is that just me? Is that weird? Or are you folks doing that too? I may need to see a therapist. Anyway, this is fascinating because the support among evangelicals in Iowa is very interesting. And Ben Teeter, what do you call the plural of caucus?
Cockeye, Todd.
Cockeye, that's correct. The cockeye.
The Hawkeye cockeye.
All right. We're trying to get Jeff Stein. By the way, we're trying to get Jeff Stein on. We may or may not be correct there. But is it true? Am I out of the... But seriously, Dieter, when you see DeSantis, the first thing you look at are the boots.
This is personal for me. I have a good friend that just moved to Iowa, and she was at one of these campaign stops by the Florida governor. And she took a picture with DeSantis, and the first thing I looked at was his boots. And I asked the girl, her name was Sarah, I said, Sarah, could you tell if he was wearing lifts in those little boots? She said she wasn't sure, but he did walk funny.
He has a weird gait.
A shuffle.
Yes. It's just kind of like he's afraid he's going to tip over, you know, because if you're not used to wearing, you know, stilettos, it's, you know, your ankles are going to give out.
Did you see those new boots he was wearing? They're like these army boots. They still got the heel in them, but he's switching it up a bit.
Interesting. I was watching Yellowstone over the weekend, and I noticed none of the boots on the ranch, nobody does that. Their boots are not like that.
Do we know if he wore boots before hitting the campaign trail?
We will research. Okay. We'll research it. We'll get our crank research team on that. So, look, here's NBC News breaking down the new Iowa poll numbers. And before we, it's a little bit of a lengthy thing, but I want you to understand this is where we're going. Now, a lot of people are going to say this is some sort of a plot. I was actually reading some data over the weekend, and the DeSantis people are saying every single poll in America is cooked. Everybody's in on this. It is a vast America First conspiracy, and that the Democrats and the media are colluding with the polling companies to make you think Trump has all of this support when in fact he doesn't. And when Trump wins the day after Super Tuesday, and I'm not making this up. This is the thinking out there, that the day after Trump sweeps Super Tuesday, then all of a sudden the truth will be revealed, and then it'll be over for Trump. So they're saying all of this is make-believe, that Trump does not have your support. And this is all coming from Team DeSantis, and I suspect Team Haley. By the way, DeSantis has bigger problems than Trump. He's got to deal with Nikki Haley, and she is coming for him fast. And she will take off her stiletto heel and beat the holy living political daylights out of him. Ron won't know what's coming. I'm just saying. All right, so here's NBC News breaking down the Des Moines, Iowa Register poll. Cut 12.
Republican side for the Iowa caucuses. We now have Donald Trump leading with an outright majority in Iowa, 51%. Ron DeSantis, a very distant second at 19. Nikki Haley, 16. Ramaswamy and Christie at 4. We last polled Iowa in October, also with the Des Moines Register. Since then, look at this. Donald Trump's lead. He has added 8 points to his total. DeSantis up a couple. Haley, who had been moving flat. I think it's significant because in the month leading up to this poll, you had Ron DeSantis pick up the endorsement of the governor of Iowa, the endorsement of a key evangelical leader in Iowa, got a lot of press attention for completing a 99-county tour of Iowa, had a Fox News debate against Gavin Newsom in front of millions of Republican-leaning voters, and was part of that fourth Republican debate last week that Donald Trump wasn't in. So for all those things that we thought might be giving DeSantis a boost over the last month, it is Trump, despite not participating in the debates again. It's Trump who's made the big gains. Trump who's moved to 51% in this Iowa poll. Just a couple other numbers we can show you behind this. These are evangelical voters in Iowa. Remember, Donald Trump finished third with this group in 2016 when he ran in Iowa and lost. Now he leads it overwhelmingly, exact same number as what he gets overall. Evangelicals could make up 2 out of every 3 caucus goers in Iowa. That was the case the last time around. Where Trump really turns it on, though, it is first time caucus goers. This tends to be a younger group overall. Look at that. 63% of folks who say for the first time they're going to go to a caucus are rallying behind Donald Trump. This is independents. Independents are a small share of the Iowa electorate, but I think it gets to the basic problem Nikki Haley has. Look how much better Nikki Haley does among independents. It's true in Iowa. It's true in New Hampshire. It is true in every poll we have seen, but In Iowa and in most of these Republican primary and caucus states, big exception being New Hampshire, independents are going to be outnumbered significantly by core Republicans. Haley has yet to show that she can make the inroads she needs with core Republicans. That is to say, Republicans who like Donald Trump. She's yet to show she can make those inroads to be competitive. Also, in terms of enthusiasm, we asked folks, are you very, extremely enthusiastic about your choice? Trump, look at that, 2-1, 3-1 advantage over his rivals. We asked folks, is your mind made up? 77 out of 10% of Trump voters in Iowa say their minds are made up. Again, more than double that of any of his nearest rivals. And then we asked this question here, a lot of words. This is about electability and Republicans' perception of it here. We talked so much in 2023 about Donald Trump's trials. We will continue to talk about it in 2024. But we asked folks, can Donald Trump win the election regardless of his legal challenges? Now, nearly 3 out of 4 Republicans in Iowa say yes. Last month, that number wasn't even 2 out of 3. Big jump there for Trump. We also said, hey, are Trump's legal challenges too much? They make it nearly impossible for him to win. 24% saying that. Again, that number was over 30 last month. So all sorts of signs in this poll, Mika, showing that Donald Trump over the last month, last 6 weeks in Iowa, has actually improved his position.
Meanwhile, Mika and Joe were apparently doing shots during commercial breaks. It's not a pretty sight right now over at MSDNC. So I'm curious here. Do you truly believe, and this is, I want to hear from the DeSantis crowd today as well. Do you believe these numbers? Are you believing all of the polling data out there? Is Donald Trump surging right now? Or is this some sort of a vast plot to make you think that Donald Trump is the guy, but in fact, his numbers are not really that strong? Because that's what DeSantis people are out there saying, and the establishment Republican crowd. They're saying that the Democrats want Trump to be the nominee. So our telephone number, 901-260-5926, again, 901-260-5926. We're going to be taking your calls on this. Also, we're going to be checking in with Dr. Carol Swain, who now finds herself at the center of this Harvard University scandal. Dr. Swain, an award-winning political scientist, a friend of this program, and it turns out the president of Harvard University plagiarized Dr. Swain's work. So we're going to get you the very latest on the huge controversy that's embroiling the university system here in America. Again, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and I want to update you on my Calitrin journey. I'm still losing weight. I'm also sleeping a lot better, and I've got a lot more energy. Calitrin really is about more than just weight loss. Here's my good friend Elizabeth from Calitrin.
Yes, y'all, and right now we've got the biggest sale of the year on Calitrin. You're going to save huge. So when you buy that proven 90-day supply, that's the one with the 86% success rate, you're going to get a 90-day supply free. So it's the perfect time to stock up and save or split it with a friend. And right now, if you go on our website today, you're going to see that there's free shipping on top of that on the sale today. So you're not even going to have to pay for shipping. Again, the website is toploss.com. That's TOPLOSS.com. But if you have questions or you want to split up your payments, we can do that by phone. The number is toll-free, 1-833-TOP-LOSS. Or again, the website is toploss.com.
And be sure to use that discount code, Todd. All right, people, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. So great, great polling news coming out of Iowa. Things are not looking good for the DeSantis campaign. They've had a lot of people that have been fired, a lot of people leaving. There's a lot of disarray right now. And a lot of people are saying behind the scenes that Casey DeSantis is the one who is calling the shots. And look, we've made no secret here on this program that clearly something is not right here with DeSantis. It's as if he's trying to portray a character. What was it Megyn Kelly said at the debate? She said it looked like somebody just shot his dog. I mean, he has that. It's just a weird, pained look on his face, like DeSantis knows that he is playing a part and he is not doing a very good job. Either that or Mrs. D is more interested than he is and being president of the United States. I don't know, but something is just not right. So over the weekend, the DeSantises were on Martha McCallum's show over at Fox News. And it was interesting because she really dominated the conversation. It was just a little weird, but she dominated the conversation. And here's what she told Marta.
We have a huge coalition across the United States of America of mothers and grandmoms. When the governor was reelected, we had a coalition of 1.1 million mothers and grandmoms in the state of Florida. That was the largest that had ever been done in the history of our state and probably, I would argue, across the nation. We're asking all of these moms and grandmoms to come from wherever it might be, North Carolina, South Carolina, and to descend upon the state of Iowa to be a part of the caucus, because you do not have to be a resident of Iowa to be able to participate in the caucus. So moms and grandmoms are going to be able to come and be a part and to let their voice be heard in support of Ron.
All right. So that's a big problem. So now you've got Casey DeSantis inviting outsiders to caucus in Iowa. Here's how bad it is. The state Republican Party had to issue a statement saying that's not how it works here. She didn't overstep. She stepped in it. And there's a lot of blowback here. The Republican Party of Iowa had to put out a statement just reminding people you have to be a legal resident of Iowa, and you also have to be a legal resident of the precinct you live in. You've got to bring a photo ID when you participate in the caucus. President Trump's team jumped on this, as they should have. And they said this is all part of a broader scheme to fix the caucus in Iowa. So they're alleging this is some sort of a fraud issue. The campaign released a statement. The Trump campaign strongly condemns their dirty and illegal tactics and implores all Trump supporters to be aware of the DeSantis's openly stated plot to rig the caucus through fraud. Now, the DeSantis campaign has come back, and they're trying to clarify this. I mean, it was pretty clear what she said. It's not a matter of clarifying. It's a matter of disowning what you said, but they didn't do that. They said, while voting in the Iowa caucus is limited to registered voters, there are other ways to participate. Here's what they should have said. You know what, folks? We made a mistake. Sorry, we overstepped. We know the rules. We're not trying to do anything nefarious here. I apologize. How difficult is that? It really is that simple. So anyway, good for the Trump campaign calling these people out. Good for the Iowa Republican Party for calling them out. But what I find fascinating about all of this is the evangelical Christian vote in Iowa. You had this guy, Bob Vanderplatz, the pay-for-play guy, and I mean, the storyline for weeks was Vanderplatz has endorsed DeSantis. It is over for Donald Trump. I mean, that has been the narrative coming out of Iowa. And yet, the media props up this Vanderplatz guy as the evangelical leader. I mean, if there was a pope in the evangelical Christian movement, he would be this guy, according to the media. But clearly, according to the NBC polling, evangelicals in Iowa are going with Trump. Why do you think that is, ladies and gentlemen? Why is it that the people, the good people of Iowa, are going with Donald Trump? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. And now you've got people out there like Megyn Kelly and others who are suggesting, well, Donald Trump is losing it. He's lost a step or two. He's old. He's not the same Donald Trump. Are you buying into that? Because clearly the voters of Iowa are not. Trump did a great job. He was in New York City over the weekend. Oh, you got to listen to this. Wow. So this is the guy who introduced the guy who introduced Trump. So this was all happening within a span of about 20 seconds. I wanted you to hear one of the jokes that was cracked at the big Republican event in New York City, of all places, Cut 14.
But what I hope is the first thing on his agenda is finding out if Michelle Obama is a boy or not.
We'll get the longer version of that. It was a great lead up to this joke, and the response from the audience, you got to hear the response from the audience. It is just absolute. We'll get all that for you. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be taking your calls. Also, a very bizarre story about the Obamas producing a brand new fiction movie for Netflix. I watched it last night. I have some thoughts on that. We'll be right back. MyPillow is celebrating its 20-year anniversary with over 80 million MyPillows sold. Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get their queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98, and just $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king-size pillow. You're going to receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products like bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. This is the time to try out some of their other amazing products you've had your eye on. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes to get this amazing offer of the queen-size MyPillow for $19.98 or call 1-800-839-8506. The offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506, promo code Starnes. Jones is back on X, formerly known as Twitter. That was a big deal yesterday. As a matter of fact, Alex Jones sat down with a two-hour interview conversation with Elon Musk and a lot of other folks involved, including Vivek Ramaswamy. And the story is that Ramaswamy forgot to mute himself when he had to go and, well, when nature comes a calling, you got to do what you got to do. But he forgot to mute himself. But the good news is, apparently, Vivek washes his hands after going to the bathroom. So that's a good thing, right? I guess. You know, the thing about Alex Jones, and I listened to bits and pieces, drips and drabs. I think I watched more of the Trump Tucker Carlson interview with Alex Jones. I like the guy. Yeah, it's bombast. It's theater of the mind. He's a radio guy, and yeah, he's made some mistakes. He's owned up to those mistakes. I don't necessarily agree with everything he says. He probably doesn't agree with everything I have to say. But what's really uncanny about Alex Jones is he's able to go out there and predict things that eventually come true, including 9/11, by the way. So, anyway, good to have Alex Jones back on social media on X, formerly known as Twitter, and we'll see how that goes. I want to bring you up to speed on a couple of stories we've been monitoring here. First of all, good news. Remember the coffee shop? We told you about this on Friday. There was a Jewish lady goes into the bathroom of this coffee shop in Oakland, California, Farley's. Somebody had written all of this anti-Jewish hate stuff on the walls of the bathroom. So she goes out, she tells management, and then she goes back to the bathroom to document all of this. And that's when the staff, these three large, I don't know, blue-colored hair people, very woke leftist, they stopped the woman from going into the bathroom and then started hurling her with these horrible, horrible anti-Jewish language. It's terrible stuff. We have it all on the website. You can watch it for yourself, toddsterns.com. So anyway, the coffee shop came out over the weekend, and they said, look, we are extremely sorry about all of this. We have fired the three people responsible, and this is not who we are. And I say good for you guys. Well done. Well done, a coffee shop, Farley's Coffee Shop. And I'm going to take them at their word that they didn't realize this was going on, and they took immediate action. So good for you guys. Another story we're following involves Target. Target, you know, they were selling the gay nutcrackers, which, by the way, is not exactly what I thought it was. I'm like, that's a little weird. But it turns out it's actually a Christmas ornament. But it is gay themed. So anyway, I think that would be something you would find, like, I don't know, over in Hell's Kitchen in New York City. So anyway, they're selling these at Target. Now they're apparently selling gay Santa Clauses. Who knew? So Target is now facing even more backlash. There's a group called 1 Million Moms, and they are just enraged. They're getting a lot of people to sign up to boycott. And they say that Target has no business selling gay Santa Clauses, or these homosexual nutcrackers. I'm sorry, gay nutcrackers. So we've got a picture of the gay Santa that they're selling, and he basically looks like heterosexual Santa. That being said, if gay Santa invites the children to hop on his lap, might want to take a pass. Just be polite about it. No need to be rude. Ho, ho, ho. Come on up here, little boy. Come on up here, little girl. And if you're an elf working in Santa's workshop, might want to put in a job app somewhere else. I'm just saying. Why can't Christmas just be Christmas? Is it unfair for me to ask that question? So anyway, people are wondering, well, what are we supposed to do about this? Well, don't go shopping at Target. I guess don't buy the gay Santa Claus. And honestly, though, I will say this. I mean, basically, it looks like regular Santa Claus, but he has his coat, the red velvet coat with the fur. Oh, maybe Santa is gay. And he's got the boots. No, but he's got the coat open, and it says, love is love. That's what's... You see, I just don't think Santa's wearing that because it's cold up there, right? You're in a sleigh. You're flying through the air. It's an open air sleigh. He's got to be wearing long johns. That's what I say. But there you go. So what are we supposed to do? Look, you can't burn down buildings or beat up people in the streets. We can't do that. That's not what we do. So I guess just stop shopping at Target. Don't buy the gay Santa Claus ornament. What do you want me to do here, folks? I don't know. Anyway, that's your latest on the War on Christmas Ho 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 edition. Ben Dieter, turn your microphone on. I have an update on a story you've been following.
What story?
It has nothing to do with nutcrackers, but it has everything to do with the Brooks Museum here in Memphis. So this was a story that you broke exclusively on KWAM, our flagship station in Memphis, and the museum was basically hosting a pro-Gaza fundraising dinner. And they were doing everything was a halal meal, which means it the meal was approved by the Muslim clerics or whatnot. And so you did the story about it over on your morning show, and something big happened over the weekend.
Well, the local media got wind of it, and they immediately came calling, who are these right wingers over at KWAM? I pick up the phone, I start talking to a couple of them. The story gets bigger. It's like the snowball effect. It keeps on growing. It keeps on growing. And so the museum decides it's going to fire its relationship. It's going to end its relationship, fire the pro-Hamas catering company. So that was boycott number one. But then there was a coffee shop inside the Brooks Museum, and they got all upset at the Brooks Museum. So they are boycotting the Brooks Museum.
So the coffee shop is owned by radical black activists.
It's called Coffee Black.
And that's
not the type of coffee. That is the name of the coffee.
And instead of an O, it's got an X.
Yes.
So basically, imagine if the Black Panthers decided to open up a coffee house.
Todd, there were more piercings in the baristas than I know what to do with.
Wow. So how do you take your coffee? Let's just say that you're coming into, what is it called, Coffee Black?
Coffee Black.
All right, I will be the barista, and you will be the customer. What you want, boy? What you want?
I want some coffee.
What you want in your coffee, boy?
Nothing. I like it black.
No, that's not what you're supposed to say. You want cream.
Oh, I like it half and half.
Say what, boy? Who you think you are, Barack Hussein Obama? We don't serve no watered down coffee here. That's racist. Racist. You will take your coffee black. Repeat after me. I will take my coffee black.
I will take my coffee black. I have no
coffee
choice.
For you. We do not serve white people. Anyway, that's what I imagined.
I think you're mixing the accents.
Am I? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, it's not an accent. I'm just saying this is my barista voice. Welcome to Starbucks. What you want?
So now everybody's upset. Everybody, because now everybody would walk around the Brooks Museum with a cup of black coffee in their hand.
So
there's
the black,
no more coffee.
So now the Black Panther Coffee House says, okay, yeah, if you're not going to support Gaza, we're gone.
Because God loves coffee and God loves peace. And
Wow. They
do not feel like the Brooks Museum is honoring that.
So it's interesting because one of the arguments was that the museum, there it's run by white nationalists. So there's always a racial component here. But I do feel if you went and ordered, if you tried to water down the black coffee, they would throw you out.
Like asking for like a cream, a hazelnut.
Oh, you can't go half and half. No white coffee for you.
Lord.
It's terrible. All right. Well, this is good news. So you guys are stirring up a stink in Memphis.
Apparently, I've gotten all sorts of hate mail. We have to add an additional layer of security here at the radio station here because terrified pro-Hamas rallies are going to break out at your station, Todd.
Is that right? I would not encourage that, but we're prepared.
We are prepared. We've heard reports that we are their number one target in the city of Memphis.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, we have a large supply of pork products in the building. And so if that's the case, we'll just, you know, we will act accordingly. Typically, the Muslim radicals don't like to be anywhere around pork product.
Ribs and rifles.
I like that.
Could be
ribs
next,
and rifles.
That could be like your new book after this one.
I love it. Ribs, rifles, and radicals. My life in Memphis. The Todd Stern story. I love it. Well done. Well done, Ben Dieter. Good job. Well, good job to the museum. And I hate it for the Black Panther coffee shop. You know, it just seems to me that if you're the whole point of a coffee shop is to be relaxed. It's not that you want to go there and, you know, order a cup of coffee and sign up for the revolution.
As I told this reporter in town that asked for an interview, when this museum focuses more on activism than art, it's not a museum anymore. And frankly, I think a lot of our listeners don't want to go be educated by the curators over at Brooks Museum.
Oh, can we? And you've got the Fox. So Fox 13 did the report. Can we? Oh, let's listen. Is it cut five?
All yes.
Right, let's listen to the interview.
In the Middle East, a war is being fought with rockets and bullets. Here in the Mid-South, that same war is being fought with words and benefit dinners.
It's tragic to see these images coming out of the Middle East. But again, you're picking a side when you're hosting this dinner for just those on the Palestinian side.
Ben Dieter from conservative talk radio station KWAM took Loaf's dinner plans on air, and many of his listeners weren't happy to hear about it. In an Instagram post, Loaf wrote that tickets were $85 and that a percentage of the profits would go to Palestinian Children's Relief Fund. That post was since updated to say, "We're sorry to say that this event has been canceled, y'all. We hope to serve you again in the future."
If you're going to raise humanitarian funds for one side of this conflict, why not the Israel side, which we believe are the true victims of this conflict?
In a statement, the Brooks Museum told Fox 13, quote, "A vendor who operates the cafe had sought to convert the dinner into a fundraiser without the knowledge or approval of museum leadership. The Memphis Brooks Museum of Art deeply apologizes for this incident." The statement also said the dinner was canceled and the contract with the vendor was terminated.
At the end of the day, the Brooks Museum is for arts and not activism.
All right.
Since
let's stop there. That's wow. Art, not activism. Well done, Mr. Dieter.
Thank you.
All right. So, you know, I just imagine every time they give somebody a cup of coffee, do they do the black power fist? Ben Dieter, black power, coffee ready.
Mm-mm-mm.
Where do they get your name spelled right? That's all I want to know. You know what? I would go to the Black Revolutionary Coffee Shop if they got my name spelled right.
Well, at first I thought it was Black Rifle Coffee, and then they corrected me on it.
No.
Different
people. I'm fairly certain that's not it. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Ah, ho, ho, ho.
Hey, what's wrong, Santa?
Well, it's these elves. The new ones all feel entitled. They don't want to work their way up the ladder. In fact, they hardly want to work at all. Then there's those social justice elves. They keep pointing out everyone's differences, dividing the elves and getting them all riled up. And don't get me started about the reindeer rights elves. The shop floor just isn't the happy little place it used to be.
We should have used Red Balloon.
That's right, Santa. RedBalloon.work is America's woke-free job board. Every day, we help good companies find reliable, motivated job seekers without all the woke nonsense. And our new Red Balloon Recruiter Service is turning traditional corporate recruiting on its head, delivering high-quality employees for a fraction of the price. Give yourself a Christmas gift and post your jobs on RedBalloon.work today. And use promo code SALEM to get 10% off your first month's job posting, because life's too short for a bad hire.
All right, want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. As promised, we have Dr. Carol Swain with us, a best-selling author, political scientist, and she is now at the center of this huge scandal that's brewing at Harvard University, where the current president is now accused of plagiarizing Dr. Swain. Dr. Swain, first, good to have you with us. I want to get your reaction to this breaking story over the weekend.
Well, and I was stunned last night when people started calling me and they directed me to Chris Rufo's Twitter stream, and I saw the allegations. And I did not want to respond too quickly. I have had time to look at some of her published work, and I have, you know, mixed feelings about it. Part of what I feel is that her academic record, her publications, they draw very heavily on the work from my book, Black Faces, Black Interests, The Representation of African Americans in Congress, published by Harvard University Press in 1993, updated in 95 and 2006, and she does not engage my work. Like in most of the publications, she will have a cite, but she doesn't let the readers know that her whole research agenda, the questions she's asking, the things that she's doing, is coming directly from the ideas in that book. And so I found that more problematic. And I would blame her committee as much as I would blame her, because my work was so pathbreaking. It won three national prizes. It was cited by many lower courts and eventually by the U.S. Supreme Court. And there's no way that they could not have known that I was the person that did the pathbreaking work. So how could someone else with derivative work, you know, come along and not really engage the major work and get tenured and get promoted and get advanced on the weight of what she put forth?
Should this disqualify her from office? Should she be removed from office just on this plagiarism charge?
I believe that the trustees of Harvard University need to come together and decide what their values are, and they need to make that decision. But clearly, I would argue that in the mid-1990s, and Todd, you may remember when William Bowen, who was former president of Princeton, and Derek Bach, former president of Harvard, came together and wrote a major book, The Shape of the River. And they argued in favor of race-based affirmative action. And at that time, there was a major debate, mid-1990s. I was out there on making the case for race-neutral, means-tested affirmative action. And I believe that standards dropped after that. And so instead of affirmative action going away, what the progressives did was they really lowered the standards. And if you look at Claudine Gay, you know, she's a descendant her parents are immigrants, which is, I guess, is fine, but Harvard University itself has used its affirmative action programs not to bring in black descendants of slaves who may be high achieving, but they have disproportionately brought in immigrants from Africa and the Caribbean and places like that. I think we need to be having a debate.
I've got about 30 seconds here before we have to break for the top of the hour, Dr. Swain. Do you believe she is qualified to be the president of Harvard, and do you believe this was a diversity hire gone bad?
Well, I mean, she's the poster child for my new book, The Adversity of Diversity, and I don't believe that she would have been tenured under the same standards that I had to meet when I received my tenure in the early 1990s. And I think that the students and the young faculty need to be led by someone that has moral integrity. And it's not just her. Look at the other university presidents. The progressive left puts forth extreme individuals, and they yep. have a different set of standards for people who will toe their party line. And so I think that we need to hold the trustees accountable. They do have a problem on their hands.
All right. Well said, Dr. Swain, and we appreciate you hopping on here, the breaking news of the hour, and let's hope that people are held accountable. Dr. Carol Swain, everybody, hang tight. The Todd Stearns Radio Show continues after this.
Cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know. Streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime, on any screen, at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Testing 1, 2, 3. Is the microphone on? Very good. Apparently, I may have overmodulated myself in the last hour of the program. My apologies. We may have blown out a few speakers and automobiles. So I think a couple of Teslas just like, I don't know, swerved. By the way, remind me, Ben Dieter, remind me about the Tesla story. I've got to share that later this hour.
Roger.
It's very important. Okay, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. By the way, welcome to the show at 901-260-5926, our brand new telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Want to bring into the conversation the only person in all of Iowa in the talk radio world who understands politics best is Jeff Stein, who is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line as you and I speak here together. Mr. Stein, good to have you with us.
It is a privilege, as always. I hope you didn't hurt yourself when you overmodulated in that last hour.
No. Right. This has not happened in a very long time, but but it happened today. So, but I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you for your concern, Jeff Stein. This is what makes you a good man.
I do what I can. I look out for my friends and small animals. I look out for all of those.
All right. Hey, you know what? Next time you come to town, you and I'm going to take you. We're going to go to the Black Panther Coffee House here, and right. we may just send Dieter over, and we'll get a we'll have a couple of brews. They only serve black only coffee, so if you want to go and order a Barack Obama, you're out of luck.
Jeff, I thought this entire time it was Black Rifle Coffee. I got it wrong.
It's not Black Rifle Coffee.
Oh man.
Black Power Coffee.
Well, but last I heard, and I was listening to this fine radio program the other day, did I learn that Mr. Dieter shops at Target and sips from Starbucks as well? I'm really concerned, yes. Todd, about young Ben.
He's on the last count, about 78 churches in the Memphis area put him on the prayer list. So it's quite the scandal.
No, and this is something that I will get emails about, so I am going to turn off my microphone and let you guys talk about some Iowa polling. All right? Bye, everyone.
Wow. That was a harsh turn. So anyway,
someone did not have his Starbucks today, is what it sounds like.
My goodness. Somebody's latte got frothed. Let's talk about these big numbers coming out of your state, Jeff Stein. And I know for some reason a lot of the highfalutin people in Iowa – are big DeSantis people, and they've bought into this. So you've got Bob Vanderplatz, who we're going to get to in just a few moments. Some of the other talk radio folks out there are throwing them with DeSantis. But, Jeff, according to these numbers, it's not moving the needle.
Not a bit. Not a bit. This is the new NBC News, Mediacom, Des Moines Register, Your Name Here, This Space for Rent, Iowa poll. And for the first time, Donald Trump now is at 51%. He's trending in the right direction, Todd, because just 2 months ago he was at 43% of likely caucus goers. Now, that's a huge number by any stretch. He's now raised it in 2 months by 8%. One of the things that we know about Iowans is they have conviction, and then they shop around a little. And that's what happened here. People who voted for Trump before were shopping around. That's part of our job. But look at where they're landing 5 weeks before the caucus. They're all coming home to Trump. At the same time, yes, DeSantis got a little bump from 16 to 19%. But keep in mind, the last time we talked about this, he had cratered. DeSantis at one point was at 37. Then he dropped to 16. All right, now he's up to 19. So if you're telling me that all of the leading evangelicals in the state throwing behind DeSantis, some of the big shot talk radio and TV folks throwing behind DeSantis, the governor of the state throwing behind DeSantis, and the best they can do is to bump him 3 points after that cratering, I just don't see how you make up, and my public school math says that's 32 points. I don't know how you make that up in 5 weeks.
Well, the argument that team DeSantis is putting out there, they're saying all of these are fake polls and that it's really, you know, that this is all part of some sort of a conspiracy to give the illusion that Trump is powerful and has the support. And then all of a sudden, when he becomes the nominee, poof, it's all going to evaporate.
They didn't say it was a fake poll when their man was at 37% in August and Trump was only at 42%. They thought it was a really good poll back then. So I guess the poll was good in August and is lousy now.
Well, there you go. I'm just fascinated by these numbers, only because DeSantis has been out there with Vanderplatz, and Vanderplatz is tweeting around the clock. And I'm just wondering if maybe the majority of people in Iowa are really not paying attention to these guys. They're not paying attention to the governor, and they're going with what their heart tells them to do.
Trump gets first-choice support from 51% of evangelical Christians. 51%. So he already has the majority of that very key voting block. One of the things that I found most interesting from the poll, Todd, and it was released today, is that Trump's support is rock solid. He has 51% of likely caucus goers. And of those, 70%, 7-0, say, Trump's my man, you cannot change my mind. Meanwhile, among DeSantis supporters, 70% say they could be persuaded to vote for someone else. That is soft support. DeSantis supporters, only 30% of them say, yep, he's our guy. Haley supporters, only 34% say that their mind is made up. So you want to peak at the right time on caucus night, January 15th. And it would seem that President Trump is certainly on that trajectory because, again, you've got that solid a group of people behind you. Trump's key, and he has said this in all of his Iowa appearances, Todd, he says we have to swamp them on caucus night. Don't take anything for granted because caucuses are where the party pros show up. And so if you are someone who's new to the system, someone who came into voting because of Trump, you may not be used to going to these partisan caucuses. And Trump is saying in cities and towns all across the state, he's saying we got to swamp them. You got to show up. You got to be there so that we really send a message. And I'm sure that's the message he'll deliver next week, literally across the street from where I'm sitting. He's going to be across the street from the radio station next week, Todd, in Waterloo, Iowa.
Wow. Are you going to get some one-on-one time?
I don't know. Does my friend Todd Starnes have any weight that he can pull with the campaign?
All right, we're gonna have Trump on the show this week, and I will mention that. Hey, heard you're gonna be in Waterloo. I need you to drop by.
Just right across the street. We'll even reserve a parking spot for him out back.
I love it. All right, we will work on that. Jeff Stein, ladies and gentlemen, KXEL. I want to play some audio. This made some headlines over the weekend. Let's play Cut 18. This is Casey DeSantis.
We have a huge coalition across the United States of America of mothers and grandmoms. When the governor was reelected, we had a coalition of 1.1 million mothers and grandmoms in the state of Florida. That was the largest that had ever been done in the history of our state, and probably, I would argue, across the nation. We're asking all of these moms and grandmoms to come from wherever it might be, North Carolina, South Carolina, and to descend upon the state of Iowa to be a part of the caucus, because you do not have to be a resident of Iowa to be able to participate in the caucus. So moms and grandmoms are going to be able to come and be a part and to let their voice be heard in support of Ron.
When you heard that, Jeff Stein, what went through your mind?
You might want to read the rules about who gets to participate in a caucus. You have to be a registered voter. And to be a registered voter, you have to, this is going to be shocking to some, you have to live in the state. I mean, we allow people to register to vote at the event. We allow them to change their party affiliation. But the Secretary of State's office has just pointed out, if you're showing up at the caucus, you have to bring an ID. Yes, we're one of those terrible states that requires voter ID. And you have to show proof of residence in the state. That might be your electric bill. It might be a paycheck. It could be whatever. So the idea that the DeSantis folks are going to converge on Iowa and take over the caucuses, they can watch, but I don't know what good that's going to be in terms of getting delegates for their man.
Yeah, it's a couple of things here. First of all, why she's all over the whole moms and grandmas. That's who they're going for. That's their demo. But what gets me is the way she addresses her husband. It's always the governor. It's not honey or cutie pie or, you know, babe, it's the governor. And it's just sort of weird.
Apparently that's her pet name for him, and I'm just going to leave all that alone. But, the governor. I mean, it's rather ridiculous when you're also trotting around the governor of our state. Well, which governor are you talking about here? I mean, it's, I don't know. He earned a military title. I'd go with that. You know, again, whatever her pet name is for the governor of the state of Florida, that's fine. That's between them. But it just seems distant. And really, Todd, in all seriousness, of all things that the DeSantis campaign people complain about is how distant the candidate is, how hard it is for him to connect with people. And so then you sort of refer to him. I'm surprised he doesn't refer to himself then as the candidate or the governor, because that would be in keeping with what we have heard, that people just don't warm up to him. This doesn't help.
Bob Dole used to do that. Remember that back in the day?
Yes.
Bob Dole will be a loser. Bob Dole. Okay, we got you, Senator. All right. Well, look. Well, we're gonna touch base between now and election day, or caucus day, and. Yes, a lot of ground to cover, but Jeff, we appreciate the updates here, and it's going to be a fast paced trip to what? Tell me again the date. It's
Monday, January 15th, which is the national holiday, and so no excuse for folks not to show up and vote.
Happy Hawkeye Day, yeah. So
the Hawkeye Cockeye, as Rush used to call it.
Hawkeye. All right, Jeff Stein, always appreciate you, sir.
It is a privilege, Mr. Starnes. Thanks so much.
All right. There you go. Nobody knows Iowa like this guy right here, and he is the host of the great morning show on our affiliate, KXEL, and we are honored to be on that radio station. Slightly different note here, but you know how he said, you know, the governor, which governor are you talking about? You know, just name it. So I don't know what it's like in your area, but we actually have a lot of parades, you know, the parades. Now, most of them are Christmas parades, but we've got a good many holiday parades. And we've been asked to promote these events, which we are always happy to do on the radio station I own in Memphis, KWAM. So we have a rule, though. You have to call it a Christmas parade. We will not promote a holiday parade. And the reason why is we don't know what holiday you're celebrating. What kind of a parade are we talking about here? So if you cannot call it a Christmas parade, because that is the holiday we're celebrating, so if you can't call it a Christmas parade or a Christmas concert, then we can't promote it. It is a hard, fast rule here. And I got some blowback over that's just being insensitive and intolerant and just mean. You're just a big, big meanie. You're a Grinch. Dieter, does that make me a Grinch? I just want them to be honest about if we're going to go out there and give them free airtime to talk about their parade, they should at least be honest and call it what it is.
I don't think that's asking too much.
You're just a big meanie, a Grinch. You're mean. You're green. You're a Grinch.
I don't think I'm a Grinch. I just have a certain standard. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. Am I out of line there to say that if you want free airtime, you got to at least call it a Christmas parade? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Well, folks, I got to tell you, Newsmax, they're crushing it. They're doing a terrific job. I know you love them, and we do, too, and we're just having so much fun with our partnership. And, look, I get it. A lot of you have been wondering, okay, what's going on with the free stream on the app? Well, Newsmax had to stop doing that, but there is still a way for you to watch Rob Schmidt and Eric Balling and Greta Van Susteren. They have launched a new program called Newsmax Plus, and more than 175,000 people have already signed up. Hugely popular. Newsmax Plus lets you watch the Newsmax channel on your phone or home TV. And with Newsmax Plus, you also get N2, their streaming channel, which is where you can watch the Todd Starnes show. By the way, Newsmax Plus has the best Donald Trump shows ever. So get Newsmax Plus today. And by the way, will not cost you a penny to start. The good news here, NewsmaxPlus.com. Go there and you will be eligible for a free trial. This is open to every Todd Stern show listener. A free trial, NewsmaxPlus.com. That's NewsmaxPlus.com. Again, millions are making the switch. NewsmaxPlus.com and take full advantage of that free trial offer. All right. So there is this super, super creepy story that I want to talk to you about. And it involves Barack and Michelle Obama and Netflix. So they've got a longstanding deal in place, and the Obamas have a production company, and they have just released their very first Netflix film, and it's called Leave the World Behind. It is currently number one on Netflix, and this is a super creepy apocalyptic drama. And I'm curious to hear from you. We're going to talk about this more in depth after the bottom of the hour break. But I'm curious if you watched this movie. I did and was very creeped out by it on a number of levels. First of all, I think this is how things are going to go in real life. And the way the Democrats do things, and it's pretty smart, they actually tell you what they're going to do. And nobody believes it. And then it happens. And they're like, well, wait a second. How did this happen? But anyway, it's the story. It's an apocalyptic film, and there's also an anti-white subplot. And I want you to hear this line from the Obama film that was released over the weekend, Cut 16.
I'm asking for you to remember that if the world falls apart, trust should not be doled out easily to anyone, especially white people. Even Mom would agree with me on that.
Wow. I think Michelle Obama wrote that bit of script. Wow, can you look? It really was that was really bad. But I wanted to watch it. You kind of get sucked into it, and it is super woke, super left. And Ben Dieter, one of the plot lines is that people get trapped on the island outside of New York City, and you want to know how? So it's the Chinese and the North Koreans, and they hack into all of our systems, and they hack into all the Teslas, and they all of a sudden, every Tesla on the lot self-drives itself and crashes into each other, and they block all the roadways.
So are you,
super creepy.
Was it too scary? Were you watching popcorn? Did you have popcorn? Did you have snacks? Or were you too? Was it that scary?
No, you can. No, you can eat a snack. Okay. And then you realize, holy cow, I've got to go to My Patriot Supply right now and start placing orders. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. Did you watch the Obama movie? I don't know, folks. But in all seriousness, so Barack and Michelle Obama, they're doing this big film project, and the basic narrative is don't trust white people. I mean, you had one of the characters actually coming out and say that. And here's how this all sets up. You've got this this white couple, and Julia Roberts is in the movie, and so it's big name actresses. And so she is the privileged white woman, as it is described in one of the reviews. And so she and her husband and the two kids, they have a son and a daughter, and they're driving out. I guess they're having, problems with money and the job situation. So they decide to escape the city by renting a mansion out on Long Island, which is in view of the New York City skyline. And so anyway, they get out there, and it's a beautiful mansion. It's a weird house, though, because there are no photos, right? So, like, if you were to go into, I don't know, a Grace Baker's house, there would be a lovely portrait of Merlot when you walk into the lobby. It would be like a floor-to-ceiling painting. And then when you go into the living room, there are, like, other little pictures of Merlot when Merlot was a baby, and then Merlot's one-year-old birthday party. She loves the dog. And, there were no pictures. There was no personal. Well, yes, Ben, there are pictures of Mr. Producer, too, in it. I'm just saying, she loves the dog. Well, she loves Mr. Producer. There are a lot of pictures. So Grace Baker has pictures of her dog and Mr. Producer all over the house, all right? So that wasn't what it was like in the movie, though. It was very sterile, the mansion, in the woods, in the Long Island town. So anyway, they're there, and all of a sudden, everything stops working, like the cell phones stop working. And they're at the grocery store, and they see this one guy, and he's like the snarly, crusty old redneck guy. And he's wearing a ball cap, and he's got a pickup truck, and he's loading crates of water onto his pickup truck. And Ben Dieter, you know he's the bad guy because he's a white guy in a ball cap driving a pickup truck. And he has stubble. And not like that, Zac Efron stump. This is like he hasn't shaved or bathed in weeks.
The homeless guy on top of the Polar Express train.
Right. So it turns out the homeless guy is a prepper, right?
What's a prepper?
A prepper. It's My Patriot Supply. Oh. You've got all the food. You've got the bunker. And you're ready for whatever the world throws at you. You have all the emergency supplies like the wellness company.
Armageddon.
Yeah, you're prepared for Armageddon. And so anyway, but everybody mocks this guy and thinks he's a horrible person. So anyway, everything shuts down and there's no power, nothing. So then there's a knock on the door late at night. And so there, it's like one of these, what do you call them? Airbnb?
Correct.
So that's basically what they did. So then there's a knock on the door in the dark of night. And so they go downstairs, and they open the door, and there's a black dude in a tuxedo and a younger woman. Mm. And it turns out that he is the owner of the house, right? Mm-hmm. And so Julia Roberts' character goes, yeah, right. So, and at that point, you could tell it was racist. What she said was racist. But again, to her in her defense, Julia Roberts' defense, the owner had no ID. The owner had no proof. There were no photographs around, nothing. I mean, it turns out that sure enough, he was the owner, but how was she supposed to know? Somebody shows up in the middle of the night and says, I'm the owner of the house and you're renting it from me. So anyway, they're all stuck there together for like this end of the world scenario. But it's not the end of the world. It's the end of the United States. And so anyway, through this whole movie, the argument is made that white people are very bad. And I want to play this cut again. This is the two blacks having the conversation about Julia Roberts, cut 16.
I'm asking for you to remember that if the world falls apart, trust should not be doled out easily to anyone, especially white people. Even Mom would agree with me on that.
Yeah, don't trust the white people. And the other weird thing is that, like, herds of deer would just show up in their yard and just stand there and stare at them. It was a little off-putting, and it was like the deer were saying, we know what you've been doing to us. We're coming for you. It's very weird. So then you've got these, at just random moments, all of a sudden, there would be these loud screeching noises, and it was very symbolic of what happened in Cuba at the U.S. Embassy, right, when the Russians were playing these high decibel, you know, audio noises, and it was causing people to get physically sick. And so then their son, all of a sudden, all of his teeth start falling out because of this noise. And so the only place they can go to is the prepper. And so the prepper's sitting there on the front steps, and the prepper is not willing to initially help. But then they trade information, and then the prepper gives them some medicine to save the kid. But, you know, unless you're going to get like unless there's a dentist in the prepper room, I'm not sure that's going to help the kid all that much. So anyway, long story short, this is all about the Civil War and about how the communication apparatus was shut down, and that led to basically a civil war in the United States of America. And I believe that to be true. I believe that if we are looking at the end of the United States, I think the first thing that has to happen is that the communication has to go awry. And it's not a matter of just shutting down everybody's devices. It's about the information that's being put on those devices. Now, I know many of you follow Twitter, for example, right now. It's hard to know what is and what is not true on Twitter. For example, in Nashville over the weekend, a lot of tornadoes. A good many of the videos that were shared about the tornadoes, just, I know this is sort of a silly thing, but bear with me for a moment. A lot of the images and the videos had nothing to do with Nashville. Nothing at all. People were just making it up. They were creating these fake videos. There was another video of the U.S. Army, the Army-Navy football game. And this was shared heavily by many conservatives. And the crowd this was at what, Gillette Stadium in Boston, where they held a huge crowd. And they were all chanting, F Joe Biden, F Joe Biden. Right. That's what you go on social media right now. You will see the naval officers and the army officers all chanting in the stands, F Joe Biden. It's a fake. It's not true. Never happened. Never happened. And so that's why we triple and quadruple check a lot of the videos. A lot of the stuff that comes to us, we have to vet, because you just don't know. These are all psyops things. That's what's going down here. By the way, do you really think that a house in Arlington, Virginia just spontaneously blew up because of a flare gun? A house that did not have gas? You really think that happened? So what I'm saying is, we're now in a society where you can't trust the media. So you don't know what to believe and what not to believe. And that's the bigger problem, is how do you find somebody to trust? Which is why we do what we do all the time on this program, is we work very hard to provide you accurate information. So anyway, all that to say, yes, I think the media is going to be picking up on the fact that the Obamas don't like white people, and they conveyed that in their first thriller film. But beyond that, the plot of this movie was way too convenient. Almost as if this could happen in real life, because every single thing that happened has actually happened in drips and drabs. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. You know, we talk about being prepared, ladies and gentlemen, and one of the ways we can do that is by making sure you have an emergency medical kit, and you can get one, folks, by simply going to our website. I want to give you that address in just a moment. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, though. What an honor to have with us from the Wellness Company, our friend Dr. McCullough. Dr. McCullough, hope you're doing well today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And, of course, Dr. Peter McCullough, ladies and gentlemen, Chief Scientific Officer with the Wellness Companies. You know, Dr. McCullough, there's been a lot of conversation over the last couple of weeks about the spread of the Chinese pneumonia epidemic. What can you tell us? What's the latest there?
The Chinese pneumonia appears to be a macrolide-resistant mycoplasma pneumonia. So this is a small bacterium. It gets inside cells. It doesn't respond, it doesn't respond to azithromycin. So we'd need to use a tetracycline in an adult like doxycycline or a quinolone, a fluoroquinolone in a child. But this would be covered by the Wellness Company Medical Illness Kit, which has a pharmacopoeia of different antibiotics, other drugs to help people through acute illnesses, and telemedicine consult if needed to get guidance from a doctor. But the bottom line is the Chinese pneumonia should not be a concern to Americans. We know what this is and we know how to treat it.
And we are hearing some reports. I think Ohio, there have been an outbreak, and maybe I think in Pennsylvania. So we should not be terribly concerned about those things?
Right. We should just know that doctors should know that instead of going to a Z-Pak as the first drug choice, it's probably going to be for an adult, for instance, doxycycline. I would use that preferentially in a child, probably ciprofloxacin.
All right. This is good stuff from Dr. Peter McCullough. And folks, again, our website, twc.health/starns. That's twc.health/starns. And you can order your very own emergency medical kit. I have two. These things are just incredible. You know, Dr. McCullough, we have seen a lot of discussions in recent days among conservative thought leaders, even the White House, shockingly, coming out about the increased likelihood that we could be targets of terrorism right here in the United States. Instead of living in fear, what do you recommend Americans do?
You know, people should be ready. The type of terrorism that we hear about is actually biological terrorism. And what we mean by that is, potentially another virus or some other illness that would affect us and would not be a natural infection, would be released from a biolab. So there's a great opportunity to be ready. Again, the Wellness Company kit has people ready against a whole variety of biological threats, including anthrax, various skin infections, genitourinary infections. And instead of getting burned like last time, I think people are simply not going to sit back and wait to be saved by the hospital. Hospital's too late. Excuse me. We have to start treatment early at home. I mean, that's the very important point that we've learned out of all of this is that, as we become ill, we have to start treating early at home. Can't wait to the hospital.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And, of course, you know how it is with the weather these days. All sorts of stuff happening. People coming down with the flu, coming down with other illnesses. This is the time of year that happens with all the seasonal changes. What are some ways that you recommend that Americans do stay safe this winter?
Well, people should make sure they have got a good viricidal nasal spray and gargles. So a dilute iodine or xylitol or colloidal silver nasal spray is fine. You can make these, homemade sprays, lots of instructions on the internet or certain brands are perfectly fine. Cofix RX, Clear, Immune Mist as examples. And then the gargles can be scoped for Listerine. And they need to be done every 4 hours when people get acutely sick. You can't let your nose get stuffy and then let the virus invade the body. And this is true for COVID, for respiratory syncytial virus, or influenza. People should be, in good physical shape, good vitamin supplementation. They should have additional vitamins on hand and micronutrients, zinc, vitamin D, vitamin C, for instance. And again, one of the wellness company emergency kits. And I think, most people are going to be in good shape.
I love mine. It's great. It's there. And, haven't had to use it. Haven't had to break into it yet, Dr. McCullough. But it's there if I have to. And I think that goes back to just being prepared. People are stocking up on things like ammo and food and supplies. And again, you don't have to overdo it. This is just a matter of being prepared. And I think you guys at the Wellness Company have done a tremendous job of doing that and helping us prepare, even when it comes to these things like, ivermectin and Z-Pak.
Well, it's true. The COVID kits now, those have hydroxychloroquine plus ivermectin and even in handheld budesonide and nebulizer device. So the COVID kits are excellent. We are seeing some cases of COVID now circulate. People are on their second or third rounds of COVID. There's been a few severe cases, though. So I think those elderly, lung disease, heart disease, other medical problems, get one of the wellness company COVID kits and specifically be ready. Again, the doctors on the line can advise on how to treat right away. Most everybody has a COVID test kit at home. So we don't need to go to urgent care or ER now. This can all be managed at home.
I love it. Fantastic. Well, Dr. McCullough, I know that you have got to get off to be with a patient. So we really appreciate you taking a few moments here to chat with us. And real quick, before we let you go, I'm curious, how are things going with the Wellness Company? I know you guys have been out there talking about this quite a bit over the past number of months now. How has the response been?
The response has been excellent. Wellness companies delivered absolutely terrific products along, health education, the nutraceuticals and supplements, the telemedicine services. Everything they're doing is really working to make a difference. People want a backup out there. They want help, off hours and on weekends. They want to be able to control their medical destiny. Their lead product is called Spike Support, and that's now being used with natokinase, bromelain, and curcumin to help people get over the effects of the vaccine and long COVID. And that's making a big impact. So Wellness Company going great. Everybody should visit. Again, you have the website for them. I'm going to jump off now. Thanks
all right.
For having me.
Dr. Peter McCullough, ladies and gentlemen, the Chief Scientific Officer at the Wellness Company. And you can go to twc.health/starns and just check out. You're able to, pick and choose what sorts of things you want in your medical emergency kit. They are incredibly helpful. Like I said, I actually have two emergency medical kits downstairs here in the news bunker. And we should probably throw in some Ricola, too, Ben Dieter, just for the cough. That can be difficult. It's this time of year. What are you going to do? twc.health/starns. That's twc.health/starns. And now here's the deal. I have a promo code, STARNS. My last name, STARNES. Use that promo code, and you're going to be able to save 10% on your order. And, folks, I'm telling you, this is worth every single penny. Quite frankly, it is nice to know that I don't have to worry. Heaven forbid another pandemic breaks out. I'm not going to have to worry about standing in a long line at a pharmacy hoping they have the medicine I need. Instead, I have it at home in a safe space. So there you go. twc.health/starns. Use my promo code STARNS and you're going to be able to save an extra 10%. All right, coming up, we have got a great guest coming up. Congressman Ben Klein's going to be here. Also, Walker Wildman from the American Family Association and Matt Schlapp will be on the Newsmax TV show later on today. You'll be able to watch those interviews on toddstarns.com. And you'll also be able to pick up some free things. Number one, my podcast. And number two, my newsletter. We have a lot of folks, over 200,000 people now reading and subscribing to the Todd Starnes newsletter. So get yourself a copy today. Will not cost you a penny. We'll be right back, America.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Texas, that's right. I love this American ride.
right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Good to have you with us today. Interesting new survey out. Turns out that 20% of college-aged Americans say the Holocaust is a myth. So the Holocaust never happened, according to a survey. This is from the College Fix. Dave Huber is the writer. The YouGov Economist poll shows 8% of the age group, we're talking 18 to 29, believe that the Holocaust is a myth and that Nazi Jewish genocide is bogus. 12% tend to agree. This is a these are shocking numbers, but it should not be surprising, but it's a shocking number, and I'll explain why in just a moment. 30% neither agreed nor disagreed that the Holocaust happened. 23% said the Holocaust has been exaggerated, and 28% believe Jews wield too much power in the United States. So why is it that so many college-aged Americans believe the Holocaust is a myth? Well, the answer is very simple, ladies and gentlemen. It's called 1984. That's what this is called. When you intentionally stop teaching world history or U.S. history, when you intentionally stop talking about the good and the bad of world history and American history, when you whitewash what's happened in this country, you get stuff like that. You see, the whole point is they want people to forget that the Holocaust happened. And the best way they can do that is to either not teach it or to say it never happened. Look, the same thing is happening right now with the whitewashing of the Civil War in this country, where statues and monuments are coming down at a rapid pace around the country. And the reason why is they want people to forget about that part of American history, and they want to rewrite the narrative of what happened in American history during that time. So I'm not terribly surprised this is happening, and I suspect more of that will happen, which yet again is why we have got to get a handle on what's happening in our public education system. Now, we also want to welcome all of our new listeners on Newsmax. The third hour of the Todd Starn Show is proudly simulcast on Newsmax 2, and we welcome all of you to the program. Our telephone number, by the way, is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So there is a lot of controversy right now at Harvard, where Claudine Gay is facing ouster. They're meeting, the board of directors meeting again today, and apparently there are a lot of people on faculty who say this woman ought to stay put, that she's done nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, more than 500 Harvard faculty members have signed a letter supporting Claudine Gay. More than 500. They say that she did nothing wrong. This item from the Harvard Crimson newspaper. The faculty members say that they're urging in the strongest possible terms to defend the independence of the university and to resist political pressures. So in other words, the faculty say they've got no problem with little pro-Hamas wannabe terrorists marching through Harvard Square chanting death to the Jews. But I'm not sure this is going to work out very well for President Gay, who I believe is straight, actually. But her name is Gay. No, her name is literally Gay. It's a very fine name. There's nothing gay about Gay. I'm just saying her last name is Gay. So anyway, it looks as though the people who can truly move the needle on this are the billion-dollar donors to Harvard and a lot of these other Ivy League schools, and they are threatening to, and some of them have already pulled their funding from the schools. And that's what needs to happen. And by the way, not only does President Gay need to be fired, so do the 500 Harvard faculty who signed that letter. Every single one of them should be fired. Period. These universities have got to understand they cannot harbor Jew haters. They cannot harbor Christian haters. And by the way, can we talk about that for a moment? I mean, they've been going after the Christians and the conservatives for decades. And nobody cared. Nobody thought there was anything wrong with it. Nobody said anything about, oh, it's all about tolerance. It's all about tolerance and diversity. Tolerance and diversity. Really? Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, remember what happened when Charlie Kirk went over to, what was it, Berkeley, UC Berkeley, and the urchins nearly burned down the university. How's that for tolerance and diversity for you? So again, we're all in this together here, folks. We are all in this together. And unless the Christians and the Jews are willing to stand side by side on this one, it's going to get difficult out there. So my recommendation, fire every Harvard faculty member that signed that letter. They made the job of whoever does that very easy. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Want to play some audio here. This is President Trump gave a great speech in New York City, talking to the young Republicans. And Trump was weighing in, having a little bit of fun with this dictator for one day line that he's been sharing. Cut number two.
Ben Baker today in the New York Times, he said that I want to be a dictator. I didn't say that. I said I want to be a dictator for one day. But the New York Times said, and you know why I wanted to be a dictator? Because I want a wall, right? I want a wall, and I want to drill, drill, drill. That's true. So, yeah, well, we did.
You didn't build the whole thing, though. That's why. All that to say, good for you, Mr. President. And he was clearly having a lot of fun. I believe, right before Trump spoke, there was a comedian who got up on the stage and had this to say about Michelle Obama.
But what I hope is the first thing on his agenda is finding out if Michelle Obama is a boy or not.
Oh, all right. There you go. President Trump also weighing in on free speech. And, of course, the government is out there, and they've been criminalizing free speech around the country. President Trump says he's gonna stand up for us there, too.
Every abuse of power, the fake news is ridiculously claiming I will commit is, in fact, being committed by Crooked Joe and his thugs. They're trying to lock up their political opponents. They want to lock up their political opponents, in particular me. Thank you very much. It's an honor. They're trying to criminalize free speech and take total control over the American people. But then I came along and I'm standing in their way, and now millions of Americans are joining us. Millions and millions are joining the Republican Party.
And it's true. But again, going back to this idea that the left, they're out there saying Trump is going to be Hitler, that people, you know, political enemies are going to get thrown in jail. Political enemies are going to lose their jobs. Political enemies are going to be ostracized from society. Folks, this is exactly what the left has been doing since Obama got elected. And now they're terrified because they know they have crossed the Rubicon here. And there's no going back. None whatsoever. And this is what angers me about the Republicans who want to play nice. Why are we playing nice here? We don't play nice. They're the ones that set the ground rules, and now they've got to live by them. So there's no more nice. This is a scorched earth policy that we have to implement, and we've got to take them all down, every single one of them. Every single one of them. Just understand this. Right now, the only victory the Republicans can claim going into the presidential elections, and you think long and hard about this, the only badge of honor they have is they took down George Santos, one of their own. That's it. That's their claim to fame. They didn't get rid of Mayorkas. They didn't address what's happening down at the border. They didn't get Hunter Biden. By the way, they didn't even get Joe Biden. They got nothing, nothing at all. They didn't shut down the FBI. They didn't defund the FBI. FBI is alive and well, and they're knocking on the doors and knocking down the doors of Christians all over America, even as you and I sit here and speak. So, again, what have the Republicans done? Oh, by the way, can we play this audio? This is kind of creepy. George Santos, is he a furry, Bendy? Do we know, is he a furry, or is he just congratulating someone who is a furry?
He was hired to congratulate furries.
Oh, is this that $200 deal?
Yeah, the cameos.
All right, so for $200, George Santos, I mean, guy's got to pay his bills. For $200, he would record some sort of a greeting or something. And this person came out as a furry. Those are the people that dress up in the dog costumes, is that right?
They always have the little tails.
Okay, all right. These people are weird. Cut number three.
Hey, Heath. George Santos here. I'm so proud of you for coming out as a furry, and I just wanted to tell you that your friends and family all accept you, and they're all excited about your persona, which is awesome to be a beavapuss, a beaver and a platypus. So let me tell you, they all love you, beavapuss. Don't you ever get your head down, and don't you ever, ever let anybody tell you what you can and can't be. I'm so proud that the corporate folks at Arby's gave you the go-ahead to go to work in your persona. So if you could just, you know, live it up and be as perfect as you want, just keep doing you, and yiff, yiff, yiff. Bye.
Dieter, a lot to unravel here, and I want to start with the name here. So this guy is claiming to be a beaver puss, which is a cross between a beaver and a platypus. Is that right?
Or a platypus, if fine.
A platypus.
I heard George Santos correctly.
And but the other interesting component of this is that apparently, what is he called him? Hee-hee? Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Hee-hee. All right. So Hee-hee is apparently bi species and works at Arby's. This is, and Arby's, according to Santos here, Arby's is okay with this guy dressing up as a beaver puss to work on the job. Is that?
I don't want any beaver puss touching my curly fry. Sorry.
Oh, my Lord. That's terrible. So you're just pulling up to the drive-thru at Arby's, and you're there. I'd like a classic beef and cheddar, please. And a side of curly fries, and I'll take a Baptist martini, and you pull up to pay, and there you're staring down a beaver puss. Wow.
We lost the show.
Nobody wants to see that.
No.
I think I'll just cancel my order, please. Thank you.
I'll go to Wendy's.
No, we've got to call Arby's. What we have to do is call Arby's corporate headquarters and find out exactly how many beaver pusses they have on staff. Where do they put the name badge? All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stark Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us. I'm curious, so you folks that have been down to Disney, do you eat at the restaurants at Disney? I've been to Disneyland, and when I say been to Disneyland, I stayed at the hotel, the Grand Californian, and which is right there off of the park, and they have downtown Disney, and I was there to give a speech. The food was not all that good, and I don't know why. It just was not all that good, and most of it was like buffet stuff, and it was nasty. It was just not good, and maybe I was eating at the wrong places. I don't know, but anyway, there is an interesting story in the New York Post about a woman who went to Disney. And she decided to go big. And she emerged with a check that was $2,500. And this is pretty fascinating stuff here. Foodie blogger Bethany Vinton took on the challenge at Disney World's most expensive restaurant, Victoria and Albert's. The Oregon native shared her yummy experience on TikTok in a viral video. I'm reading from the New York Post, dishing about how she spent thousands of dollars in just one night. She and her three friends went to the park in Orlando. So this was Disney World, and they dropped a lot of cash on food and wine. She showed off a number of the different dishes that she sampled, and which is fascinating. Now, according to Disney, the standard bill at this restaurant is $295, and the chef's tasting menu is $395. That's insane. The chef's menu contains 9 different dishes, and they also attached a wine pairing, 8 pours of wine throughout the night for $200 per person. So in total, the bill, 4 people, $1,500 for the food, wine was $800, and the tax was $149.50. Before the tip, the grand total, $2,449.50. Would you pay that much for a meal at Disney? She said that she was very happy and she was able to enjoy what she called her bucket list experience. Among the dishes she ate, steak, lobster, and cake. Fans were shocked at the amount of cash spent for a few small plates. One person said, "That's my mortgage, my utilities, car payment, and even some groceries." Another person said it was way overpriced, talking about the House of Mouse. Oh, is that what they call Disney, Ben Dieter? I had no idea. Earlier this year, Venton gave her fans a virtual tour of Disney World's hidden snacks, including something called a pot sticker with sweet chili dipping sauce and a sour pineapple upside down cake from Aloha Isle. Other lip-smacking snacks included ice cream martinis and meaty empanadas. You know, if it's all the same, I would rather go to Redneck Vegas, which is what we call Dollywood, and go to Paula Deen's Country Kitchen, and you get yourself a big old family-style meal, and you're going to be able to feed an entire family for under $100, and it's good eating. But I don't know about this. I don't know about Disney World. I do remember that it was very expensive. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today, everybody. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Our good friend, Congressman Ben Klein, joins us from Virginia, member of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Doing well. Good to be with you.
You know, Congressman, a couple of things before we jump into what's happening in judiciary. There is a lot of movement and was a lot of movement over the weekend when it comes to these university presidents. We know one has already stepped down. Others may be doing so as a result of what happened on Capitol Hill. How serious of an issue and how concerned are you about the anti-Semitism on many of our university campuses?
Well, the chickens are coming home to roost on our college campuses. You know, they've given winks and nods to anti-Semitism for far too long, and finally they're being called out on it. And it's appropriate that those who want to either give, or the donors who have given their hard-earned money to these colleges are writing now and saying, you know what, no, I think I'd rather put my money to better use than to further the indoctrination, the leftist indoctrination of tomorrow's future.
Well, I appreciate we had Congresswoman Virginia Fox on last week, and she's calling for this investigation. My question is very simple. If we have universities that are out there and they refuse to protect not only Jewish students but also Christian students, because the Christians have been under attack for a very long time and nobody's talking about that. But if you've got a university out there doing that, Congressman, how comfortable would you feel just defunding, no federal dollars, if you're not going to protect these kids?
Well, look, the lack of protection of speech on campus has been well documented. If you go to the group called FIRE, F-I-R-E, is a free speech group that ranks college campuses, and Harvard is ranked the worst when it comes to allowing, you know, free speech, and the left has totally controlled that for years and years. And so for them to say that that they protect somehow the ability to use this type of horrible rhetoric while enabling people to, or calling misgendering someone violence, the hypocrisy is extreme, and we need to get back to the basics when it comes to encouraging our universities to respect, not just respect the rights of free speech, but respect the rights to freedom of religion as well, so that our Jewish friends are protected on our nation's campuses.
There is some concern, and by the way, folks, Congressman Ben Klein on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today, Congressman, there is some concern about what's happening with the FISA extension, which was tucked into the defense spending bill. We understand there are a lot of angry Republicans up there, and they're very upset right now with Speaker Mike Johnson. Give us the lowdown. What are you hearing?
Well, Speaker Johnson is a former member of Judiciary, so he understands FISA. He understands the need to reform it. He understands that how our intelligence agencies have been abused and lost the confidence of the American people. The American people don't have confidence in their intelligence agencies anymore, and so he wants to reform it. The problem is our intelligence agencies, the intelligence community, has really, I think, given him a bill of goods on the need to go ahead and continue this existing FISA law out into April so that we can negotiate reforms to the current system. We have a reform bill. It passed Judiciary. It is ready for the floor. We're going to hear it this week. We anticipate it passing because this is an instance where, when it comes to protecting civil liberties, you have the left and the right both wanting to protect our constitutional Fourth Amendment rights. And so the reforms that we put in place, we put a warrant requirement in before the intelligence community could get access to the content of messages through a FISA process known as 702. And that warrant will be necessary to access that content, and will help protect our rights.
Where are we at right now with the impeachment? So any movement on Mayorkas or Garland or President Biden?
Well, you're absolutely going to see Mayorkas, a report on Mayorkas soon, but you know, Mayorkas is just one of many liberals who follow the will of the president when it comes to neglecting our borders. The orders come from the top, and so we're simultaneously going to be pursuing an impeachment inquiry into the president, not just on his willful refusal to enforce our border laws, but also looking at his family's involvement with his sons in selling access and receiving money from foreign entities. We know that Biden himself has received nearly $250,000 through his sons and his brother's various shell companies, and he's received $20,000 directly from Chinese interests. And so we want to find out just who is he loyal to, and make sure that all the facts come out. And that's what this inquiry vote is going to be about later this week.
Do you have confidence? And again, I mean, you know, the speaker and the argument was, well, he's got a lot to catch up on. It's going to take him a little bit of time. We are getting very close to the holidays, and folks are going to be going home. Then campaign time rolls around. Is it possible that we may go into an election cycle without anybody being impeached, without anybody really being held accountable?
No, I think this House of Representatives is intent on ensuring accountability. That's one reason why I've got a bill up this week, actually, dealing with the regulatory state, the bureaucracy, ensuring that any future regulations, they're not issued by a low-level unelected bureaucrat that impacts our pocketbooks and our way of life. Instead, every regulation is going to be required to be signed off on by somebody who has been Senate confirmed, essentially accountable to the people. The senators who confirm these bureaucrats are going to be held accountable for confirming their appointments, and we will have a direct link back to the regulation that is coming out, and hopefully reducing the amount of regulations and ensuring accountability in the process.
All right. Well, good stuff. Congressmember, could leave it there. Hope you and your family have a great holiday season.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
All right. Merry Christmas. Congressman Ben Klein of Virginia, a member of the House Freedom Caucus and also House Judiciary. All right. Our telephone number here, folks, 901-260-5926. How important is it for someone to be impeached here, whether it's Mayorkas, whether it's Merrick Garland? How important is it for the House Republicans to defund the FBI, or at least to defund the building of this new FBI building, which, by the way, would be larger than the Pentagon? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Hello, everybody. I'm going to play some audio here. So this is a school teacher. He's a grade school teacher. Now, when you were, go back to when you were in school and you had a teacher, and let's just say that you were going to the lunchroom, and the teacher would make you stand in a line. And a lot of times it would be girls on in one line and boys on the other, right? That's the way they've been doing it for generations. Well, not in Glencoe, Illinois. This is the school district 35, and a grade school teacher is encouraging teachers to stop this practice of lining up the children, boys on one side, girls on the other. Cut 10.
Teachers, make your classroom LGBTQ plus inclusive from the very first day. This is tip number 8, so go back in my profile for other tips. I talked about assessing your language in another tip, but this one's all about like classroom practice. Are you lining up your students into boy and girl lines? And remember, when you do that, if a kid doesn't particularly identify strongly with either of those, it makes them have to kind of choose something that isn't true to them. So find other ways to line up or group your kids. It could be by their student numbers. It could be by their birthday months. Get creative, have fun with it, and you don't need to always center gender in your classroom.
So there you go. This teacher is concerned because what happens if you have a little boy who thinks he's a little girl? Then he would be lining up in the wrong line, according to this teacher. These people are morons, ladies and gentlemen, and unfortunately, your public school is loaded. With these people. All right, 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Megyn Kelly is back in the headlines. And I'm telling you, you know, people love to get duped by some of these folks. They profess to be conservatives. Maybe they ask some good questions. And there's no doubt about it. I thought Megyn Kelly did a fine job at the debate, but that doesn't necessarily make her a conservative. So a lot of people are really upset with Megyn Kelly because she's suggesting that Trump is having a mental issue, much like Joe Biden is, a senior moment, if you will. Cut number 7.
Do you think that Donald Trump has faded from where he was in 2020?
Yeah, I do.
Huh.
I mean, I take him over Joe Biden any day of the week.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to, you know, fill out this term, never mind a second. But there's no question Trump has lost a step or multiple steps. he is confusing Joe Biden for Obama. I know he's now saying he intentionally did that. Go back and look at the clips. It wasn't intentional. It was very, look, any of us could have a slip of the tongue, but it's happening to him repeatedly. The reference about how somebody's going to get us into World War II, confusing countries, confusing cities where he is. And it's happening more and more. With all due respect to Trump, this is what happens when you're 77 years old.
Yeah.
Trump seems inhuman, but he's not inhuman. He's a human. He's a man. DeSantis' line about father time spares no one was a good one. So, look, if it's between Trump and Biden, I don't think there's any question who's more fit and who's capable. But are we really going to pretend that Donald Trump is just as vibrant and mentally sharp as he was in 16? Okay.
So what do you think here, folks? Does Megyn Kelly have a point? Are you seeing a man in decline? Because that's not the Donald Trump I'm looking at. It looks to me like Donald Trump is still with it, doing pretty good. 901-260-5926. Let's go to North Carolina. Don wants to weigh in on this Congressman Klein interview. Hey, Don, what you got for us?
Well, Todd, he didn't really seem to answer some of your questions. I don't know if he was evading them or just wasn't listening, but one of your important questions was about funding the universities. And I think we see what happens when the alumni and the donors threaten to pull their money. Even though the president lost her position, she's still a law professor at the university, still has all of her benefits and everything. So she really didn't lose much. But I think that there's really no excuse for funding those institutions if they're going to basically not uphold the law.
Yeah, Don, it sort of frustrates me when we have lawmakers like that. And, you know, I wasn't going to push it because I knew we weren't going to get a lot of answers. But the reality is the easy way to fix all of this is to just pull the funding. I mean, that's the way to do it. Instead of hemming and hawing around, just shut down the funding. They've got the power to do that. And then you fix the problem.
Well, what they're used to doing is forming a committee or let's do an inquiry. Or let's study the problem, and pretty much like the impeachment process and about Hunter Biden, the whole thing has taken years and years and years, and we still have no results. We still have nothing firm that's been done about all of this committee searching and inquiries, and the Republicans are as much to blame as the Democrats.
Well, Don, I'm with you, and I think that's a fair assessment of the situation. I know it angers leadership in the House when I point this out, that they can throw a great hearing, but when it comes time to actually doing something, they waffle or they never get around to it, which is, I was trying to get to that point with the congressman saying, hey, look, you're on a pretty tight deadline right now. And to be honest with you, Don, I don't see them having the time to impeach anybody.
Well, it's like everything else, Todd. You make time. You form your priorities. You get things that are important done, and then the little stuff doesn't have to be done. But and if you don't do that as a young adult and as a child, you're not going to do it when you're a grown up.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right there, Don. And I appreciate the call. We're going to keep holding people accountable here. And we get to the elections and nobody's paid a price, we're going to be sounding the alarms on this program. I can promise you that. All right, let's go to Illinois, Plainsfield, Illinois. Margaret wants to weigh in on Megyn Kelly. Hi, Margaret. What's on your mind?
Hi. I was going to say that nothing's wrong with Mr. Trump. It's all the legalities that would make him tired and mad and all that, but I think it'll just help him be more good to the people. But as far as mentally, no, I don't. I believe
sharp as attack, Margaret. Sharp as attack.
I would say so.
Okay, all right.
If you're asking me that, I would say yes.
All right, Margaret. Well, I appreciate that call. Let's go to John in Lakewood, California. All right, John, what say you?
I'm going to say, I think Trump is sharp as a tack, because I've seen him. I saw him earlier today on One America News. They did an interview with him, and this was just maybe a week ago, and he was as sharp as everything.
Look, I think there's a difference between being out on the road and doing the campaign events and getting a little tired, and sometimes your mind gets fuzzy. That happens to all of us. But I'm just not seeing what Megyn Kelly is talking about here, saying that Trump has taken a few steps back. I just simply do not see that.
What Biden has done? No, because Biden can't even walk out on stage and he can't even do. What city am I in?
We have a saying down south, John, that the cheese has done slid off that man's cracker.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, John.
Have a nice day.
All right, take care, and thanks for watching us on Newsmax. But, again, we'll be taking your calls on this, folks, into the Newsmax show. There is a push. And, by the way, this is being orchestrated by the DeSantis campaign. They're playing really dirty politics right now over with on Team DeSantis. And they want you to think there's no difference between President Trump and Joe Biden, talking about old age, talking about the senior moments. I don't think they're senior moments. All right, we got to take a break here. We will be going to your phone call, so hang tight. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Wow, it has been a great day. President Trump is going to be a guest on the program Wednesday. You're going to want to stick around for that. We're going to have a fun, lively conversation. In the meantime, head over to ToddStearns.com, download the newsletter, get the podcast. And folks, best of all, you be good out there. Have a good one, everybody.